Hi everyone, I know some of you are just coming in from work, but it's great to have you, and I'm coming on to Zoom for this faith refresher. It's great to join together. I'm actually speaking from home tonight, and I don't really mind that. We always usually like to be in the building to kind of just be more in that environment, but wherever I am, I pray for you that what I give will be a major blessing and something will be put into your spirit that will release understanding of this amazing subject called faith. So this faith refresher. Walking by faith, which is what the Word of God says, we all walk by faith and not sight. You know, we've spent, before we were born again, all our lives learning to walk by our senses, by our intellect, by knowledge of things, and growing in education. And then suddenly we get born again and we receive the life of God, we receive the Holy Spirit, we're a new creation, and we have to learn how to walk. And from the beginning to the end, our walk is a walk of faith. And we are to live by trusting God, who he is and what he has said, listening to him and walking with him in relationship with him. And as we do that, we go from faith to faith, these steps and this actual walking with God. And I hope you brought a Bible tonight, or you've got it on your phone or whatever you're using, because we're going to look at some very important scriptures which help us to bring fresh understanding and to get us to think right and believe right about the subject of faith. And more than anything, especially in this season, God is calling us into a relationship, a stronger relationship with him. I know he's drawing me, and I believe that he's drawing you too, to kind of break out of the routines of how we always sort of relate to him and to pursue him, to seek him. And that's why this scripture in Hebrews 11 verse 6 really describes a relationship of faith and a relationship with him that actually leads to incredible rewards. And it's in this immense chapter of Hebrews 11, which is all about how people who walk by faith, not by their senses, they heard God, they had a word from God, they acted on it. Most of them, I cannot imagine, hardly ever felt very much, but they just acted on what God said. They believed in him and they believed what he said was right and true. And they saw incredible rewards. They saw incredible things. God did amazing things with their lives. And I believe that that's what he wants to do with you, and it's what he wants to do with us as his church. And in Hebrews 11, verse 6, we just read this. The word of God says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now I stop there and think, right. Well, I can please God, not by my own effort and work, but by faith, which is trusting him, having confidence in him, and having confidence in his word. His word actually is the only reliable base or ground for my faith and your faith, which is why the promises, the word of God, without the word, you will not have faith, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word or the Bible or the scriptures. And this then goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now really, God recently has impressed on my heart and my mind, every part of me, is that faith is a coming to him as a person. And it's being a diligent seeker. And in that, there are incredible rewards. So the first step is to come to him believing that he is. Now, this word, he is, means he exists. He is present. God is here. He lives with us always. He lives in us. So when we approach God, he's already here. But I find it fascinating that he reveals himself in new and amazing ways to seekers. That those who seek him find him when they seek him with all of their hearts. So a diligent seeker is someone who says, I'm set, I'm going to pursue him, I'm going to seek him. Not just once in my life, but it becomes a diligence. It's something that I practice and it's what I do because I know that he is my goal. And what he gives and what he releases into my life by pursuing him is actually going to produce that supernatural life that he has planned for all of us. And so this coming to, having no distance, as we draw near to God, even though he's already here, God isn't lost. He's here. He's everywhere, but he lives with you and in you. As we draw near to him, I love to think the truth is that he draws near to us. And that there is this draw from our hearts that brings a response from God to manifest himself to us. And he rewards those who seek him. Jesus wants us to be wholehearted. Half-heartedness is probably one of the most dangerous things that can happen to you and me, where we stop seeking God, where we become casual in our relationships, where other things crash in. But the Lord wants to be that person who is so our goal in life. Seek me and live, he says. Seek me and you will find the best life that you've longed to live. We have his life, but it's to seekers that actually find and discover the immensity of who he is and what he can do. Now in John, we're going to look at the life of Peter, but in the book of John, the Gospel of John, if you just turn to John chapter 6, I'm going to pick out two verses. But I was thinking about this term, diligent seekers. Now, Peter, apart from his, we all talk about how he failed and stuff, but most of his life, he was a diligent seeker. And then after the Spirit came and he got born again, received that gift of salvation, he sought God for the rest of his life. He pursued God and his will, and he acted out the life of faith for the rest of his life, because he walked by faith, like you and I are called and are doing at some measure. And Peter was this diligent seeker, but there were others around Jesus who weren't as diligent or as genuine. And Jesus, in this chapter, had just fed thousands of people. And he had left and gone on to the other side of the lake. And some of the Jews who were really impacted by being fed for free, by this miracle, they went out to seek Jesus and they got into boats and they went across the lake. Now, I would call that quite good seeking because they wanted Jesus. Well, that's what you could think they wanted. But Jesus actually said about this group of seekers that they sought him for the miracles and not because of who he was and what he could give them, which was eternal life. And actually, they didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe he was anything but human who God had given a special gift to. And so there were these seekers, this group. There was another group, and we read of them in verse 60. It says there were many of his disciples, and Jesus was teaching some hard things. They were difficult things to take in, to take on board. And look, all the way through my life, Jesus says tough things. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you find some of the things he says tough. I have found some of the things he says very challenging. To rejoice always and give thanks in everything. That's quite challenging. It's not just, oh, that would be nice to have joy always. He says to do this always, to be joyful in God always. That's not easy. To forgive all who hurt you. Sometimes it's easier than others when people really hurt and treat you wrong. It's much more difficult to forgive at that point. And I've struggled. I've had moments where I thought, oh, I know I need to let that go, but I must let it go. I must forgive because Jesus tells me to. That's what he says. So he has some hard things to say. And this group of disciples, now these were followers. They hadn't been like the Jews out there for a miracle, seeking Jesus for miracles. They'd come along with him quite a way. But it says when they heard the difficult things he was saying, the hard things to understand, Jesus added a bit extra to that and made it even more difficult. And it says at that point, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples, they went back and walked with him no more. I think that's one of the saddest things to read in scripture. They began when things were going their way, the good way. Everything was going fine, but when Jesus brought something a little bit more challenging, they're kind of like a child that doesn't like the veggies on the plate, and they spat it out and said, nah, I don't want that. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus, he is God, but he never holds anyone against their will. That would be a cult. That's what the control thing. Jesus doesn't control us. He leads us. He's Lord. But he gives us freedom to choose how far on we will go. And I know because you're online tonight, you're a genuine seeker. You're listening to this because you want to go further with God. And there are greater things up ahead. There were greater things in Peter's future, and there are greater things in our future. I'm really excited about what God is doing in this time to where we are going after this time. This is going to be an amazing time for all those who don't quit, spit out what Jesus says and say, I don't like it. And I've had to deal with that with my own flesh. But faith, a faith walk, a genuine walk with the Lord, never is an easy walk. You have challenges, you have problems, but the point is, genuine seekers are like Peter here. And I'm going to read these few verses because Jesus looked after these guys, all of them left, and there were loads of them walked away. And Jesus didn't run after them. He didn't plead with them. He just actually turned around to the 12, one of whom actually was outwardly a disciple, but inwardly the one who would betray him, opposing him. So he turns to the 12 and he says to them, do you want to go as well? And you know, we all have that choice because the faith walk, The continuing on with the Lord in faith sometimes doesn't feel that great. But it's in that time where Jesus says, what about you? What are you going to do in this time and in this situation? And Peter answered. This is what I feel the Lord wants to kind of pull out about a diligent seeker. Those who come to me must believe that I am. And that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. And I can imagine Peter thought about it. And he said, Lord, we've thought about it. We've heard the same things that are very difficult to understand. We don't get it. We do wish you wouldn't talk about death so much. We actually find you quite uncomfortable to walk with and to live with. I can imagine them saying this. You challenge us to the core. But there's no one to match you. There's something about you that we're gripped. We couldn't leave you. Others might, but we can't because of what you've done. And there were two things. Even though you're not easy to live with, it's your words. It says your words. You, when you speak, and not just one word, all of your words, all even the challenging words, they kind of hit something on the inside. They do all kinds of change on the inside. They're powerful. Grace comes. I kind of get free. Truth sets me free. When you speak, I get free. Even though I think I want this, what I really want is what you're saying. And I can't resist it. We don't understand everything. The wife isn't that happy with us being out all the time with you. There are all kinds of challenges around. But you have the words of eternal life. What you say is actually bringing a life to me. And the eternal life is the Zoe life, the God kind of quality of life. When Jesus speaks his word carries divine life. Every word is a divine life carrier and imparts life. And Peter experienced that. The eternal quality, that nature of God himself, comes into my spirit, comes into my heart. I can't resist you because I can't resist your words. They do something to me and I love it. Even though at times my flesh screams, I still love everything you say. And then there's you. We've come to know and believe that you are the Son of God. We've watched you. We've seen you in operation. We've experienced your forgiveness when we didn't deserve it. Your mercy. We can't believe the way you accept us and want us with you. We've watched you with other people, with the down and outs, the broken, the oppressed. We've seen you. Oh my goodness, we've loved seeing the miracles. If we just think back at all the miracles, it makes us love you even more. When people's lives were completely changed and their quality of life, whether it was demonic or sickness or whatever it was, we've seen you, your authority to calm the storms. But you, everything about you is pure. You talk about God as a father. The religious people don't. They don't talk about this relationship. But when you pray, we want to pray. We want to have that relationship with God as our Father. And so Peter, he was like, I'm held. I can't go anywhere. Now that is a work of grace and of God. When he first called us, he loved us first. But we love him because he first loved us. And this is the key to a walk of faith, is that what he says that we respond wholeheartedly to, knowing that it's good. Whatever he says, fine, it's right. I mean, Jesus messed up my life when I got born again, but he put it the right way up. Everything was the wrong way around, but I thought it was the right way up. But when I got born again, Jesus showed me this is really how life works. And he explains everything to us. We can understand everything through the lens of God's eyes. We see him through the Spirit revealing his word, his truth to us. And so this relationship with God, when we come to him, we believe. We've come to know and believe. Ah, what a joy. Now, Peter had started a journey, but he was growing in his faith. And it's the same with you and me. We have begun a journey with God. And you are where you are. And God is training us all to trust him, to believe, and to act out our lives in faith. Not reason, not because the circumstances dictate things to us, but because he says it. And because of who he is and what he says, we can launch out on anything that he asks us to do. Now, Peter had trials, and this is really the thing about faith. Faith is always tested. Now, God doesn't test us with evil because God's good. God's a good father. But we do have an enemy, and we live in a world that's fallen. The kingdom of heaven is within us. Perfection is in us because Christ is in us. And we can walk out this new life, seeing the kingdom come, seeing his manifestation in this world. But it's amazing how people of faith are often in a trial or a test, and that trouble comes when you're in faith. And Peter had to grow in his knowledge of the Lord and in his faith walk. God was always taking him into new experiences. And so I believe that this faith refresher, if anything, needs to just lift the lid, even tonight, lift the lid of what you have walked in. And God wants to say, you just keep pursuing me because there's stuff ahead of you that you have yet to walk in. And I'll show you. But even if the tests come, the tests actually prove that your faith is genuine. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter, or is it 2 Peter? The testing of your faith proves it's genuine. That's the essence of faith. Tests come, but actually it only goes to show that what you have, trust genuine in God and his promises, is actually going to last and endure. And we're just going to look at a situation. I'm going to share a bit of testimony in a minute, but in Matthew chapter 14, I always get excited when I think, first of all, that we are those who are still here pursuing him. And there's an ever-increasing pursuit happening in our hearts because nobody else has his words and nobody else is like him. That's who we center around as his people, Jesus and his word. But in Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read about how Jesus told his disciples to do something, and how in the doing of his will, they faced opposition. And some of you may know the story. I'm just going to mention a few verses and hop through it because I don't want to take too much time tonight. But verse 22, it says of chapter 14, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Actually, we're just going to read verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. They'd never seen that before. And a relationship with God is always going to be filled with things you haven't seen before about Jesus. Is revealing himself in a new way. Lord of all your problems, Lord of the sea, Lord of creation, Lord of this struggle that you might be in. And you might be in a real struggle. You might be facing contrary winds, things that pushing against you, doing what Jesus says. And it's amazing how you can have a word and a promise that you're going to get to that point, the shore of the other side, but all the opposition seems to come against you and you're just seemingly pushing and just keeping going to just keep going on with the will of God. What Jesus says to do, you're going to do it. But I just saw this afresh, that in every trial, in every trouble, he's got a fresh experience for you and me and a new level of walking by faith. Because actually what happened is Jesus appeared. At first they thought he was a ghost, and then he said, it's me. I am, actually. He said, I am. In other words, I am God. I am here, present. But the disciples had been doing what Jesus wanted them to do right through to the fourth watch, which means between 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. Now, that's the darkest time. And if you are trying to get to the other side of the lake, and it's not that big a lake, but everything was against you, so it's taking more time, more effort, it's harder. You're exhausted by this point. You're weary. You feel your physical weakness. You feel so tired. And you know, I've known in my life seasons where you just keep going, and just to keep going, you think, oh, this is just plain old hard work. And you know, at that point, I always check, am I doing what Jesus said to do? That's my check. It's my check of the whole of my whole life. Am I really doing what Jesus said? Am I in the will of God? Because you can have contrary winds and you can have problems like Jonah. And they were rebel problems. He was going against the will of God. This was going in the will of God. And when there's trouble, I just go back to him and I say, Lord, I believe I heard you. This is right. Yes, I believe this is right. I'm going to just keep going. What if, now these were skilled fishermen, what if they decided when the going got tough to turn around, pop back to the shore and say, Jesus, we're going to take the trip in the morning. The way, it's just a bit, let's do it another time. we're just too tired. They would have missed what God had for them in the journey. And you and I go through trials. But I want to tell you, there's something greater than a trial. There's something greater than a trial in your journey. And that is, in that place, there's Jesus. He will appear to you. He will show himself to you in a way you've never seen him before. And he will do things and call you into things that you can't believe you're going to walk in. And you'll remember them for the rest of your life. I can't ever imagine Peter forgetting. And it helped him in his future walk. Because that he went from faith and then up ahead to faith. And so in every trial, there's a fresh encounter. There's a fresh manifestation of Jesus. And there's the love of Jesus that draws close. Now, this is before Jesus was with the disciples always. Physically, he was on the mountain praying. He couldn't be with them and be up there. Well, right now, Jesus is in heaven, but he can be with us because he is with us in the presence of his Holy Spirit. So he never leaves us or forsakes us. So we always have Jesus with us. But most of the time, you and I can be locked in on our struggles in life. And he wants us to turn out our attention because we're going to see him in this time in a new way. And the disciples, they didn't quit. They didn't miss one of the most memorable times they've had in this difficult time. And I believe that God's got incredible encounters, visions of Jesus, hearing him speak to you to give you such faith that you can walk in a new dimension in God. That is the season we're in. Everybody else can talk about the struggles. You and I are going to get to the shore and say, they'll ask us, how was your journey through that pandemic? You'll say, well, I mean, I went through it like everybody else, but what I remember most about it was what I saw of Jesus, what I acted on. Peter got out of the boat. He asked him, if that's you, Lord, speak, tell me to come. And he heard a word. Peter was very wise. He had a vision. You see, Jesus, vision of Jesus, that he's on top of your problem, is the first thing we need to see. And the next thing, we say, Lord, I want to walk where you walk. We get kind of an insight into what faith can do. Not reason, not anything natural, but Lord, I want to do what you do. I want to walk as you walked. And I believe, Jesus said, the same works as me, you will do. It's written. The same works you will do. But this is all out of relationship. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. I want to come where you are. And Peter starts to walk. Wow. God's planned so much for you in this time. So much for me. Let's not miss turning our eyes to Jesus. Seeking him diligently. Because those who seek will find. He will reveal himself to us. And he will speak. And honestly, we'll do things we've never done before, because he will say things to our hearts and faith will come and we'll act on that word. Now, of course, you know, Peter started to look at the conditions. He started out in faith and then he started to look at the, if it was a mill pond, it could have got his attention. Because it's still supernatural, so it's not even the wind and waves. But he started to reason. He started to doubt. Doubt is something that kind of just comes in as a thought. And often the enemy puts it in there. This isn't possible. You shouldn't be walking in this. This isn't for you. Might be for Jesus, but not for you. And you start to get your eyes off Jesus. This is the key. This is the key of all keys. Because he's the author and the perfecter. He began the walk and he will perfect it. And that's why it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So he said, come. He started it. He'll bring it to completion. But his eyes went to the wind and the waves and he got afraid, he doubted, and Jesus said, why did you doubt? You have little faith. And Jesus will always save us because he loves us. He'll pick us out of it, but he'd rather we kept going in faith. Faith pleases him, remember. And Peter learned a lesson there. If I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, I'm going to have to keep my eyes on Jesus and keep walking on what he has said. And all of this is between 3 and 6 in the morning. It's a remarkable thing. Right at the end of where you think you've got to, the best is yet to come. When you get to the end of you, that's when God does his best work, his most amazing work. I remember, in fact, this morning I had a phone call actually from Pastor Colin to tell me that a great man of God that you won't know much of, I wouldn't think, but Bishop Harry Jackson is a black American in Washington, D.C. He went to be with the Lord yesterday. And it's a bit of a shock for all of us, really, in his family. But he, many, many years ago, when I was first starting out in ministry, he rang Pastor Colin to ask for somebody to go and teach in the Bible school there in Washington, D.C. and minister in the church. And I was just beginning in ministry and I'd heard the Lord about going to the States. And I didn't, I really, it was one of those things, you know, I didn't actually personally want to, but he has the words of eternal life, and who else have I got to go to? I was ruined from the moment I met him. Jesus, not Harry. I just thought I made that clear. He just, you know, I couldn't avoid it. I had to respond. And so Pastor Colin asked me whether I'd go, and yes, I knew it was right because I'd already heard, I'd had faith. And, you know, when I arrived there, it's like these disciples, they've been told to do this, where they had a word, started out on the word, and it wasn't because I was invited, it was because God had said to me, I had faith for this, because you'll only have faith for what you've heard. Not because, you know, this is not if somebody asks you to serve on a team, you that's all part of life, but this is faith for a massive change and of life. And I didn't know how long I was going to be there, but when I arrived, the challenges, the winds were contrary, and Bishop Harry Jackson didn't know much about it. It was a large church, probably about 1,000 people in the church there, influential church in politics and in the city. And I was living in a place which was very difficult to live in. It was socially difficult. I missed my family. I missed my friends. It was culturally difficult. I don't think we think the Americans are probably the closest to us culturally, but my goodness me, I learned something that actually were completely different culturally. Then there was the financial side. I think Harry Jackson probably thought I was being paid for what I was doing. I don't know where he thought it was coming from, but it wasn't coming. It never came. I had one or two gifts, but actually, anyway, I was feeding on leftovers in this fridge where I was living, and I was also out of my comfort zone in ministry. So you could say everything was against me. I had a word from God, and it just all seemed to be wow. Now the thing I remember looking at, and I got quite sort of challenged by it. I looked at the plane ticket, and I had bought a return because I thought, well, at least I could come back for a holiday. And I didn't have money, by the way, personally. So I got this plane ticket, and I thought, well, at least I can get back. I can get a flight back. But then I knew God said to be here, I can't quit. And, you know, I'm so glad I didn't. And I want to tell you, you'll be glad you didn't quit acting on what God said to do. You'll be glad if you act on his word and trust him in it. I'm so glad I didn't quit. And I think that's part of faith. Faith endures. It just endures. You come through to a place where you actually inherit the promise, but faith has an endurance aspect to it, a persevering aspect to it. God is developing you in it, in the winds being contrary. And this trial, I look back on that journey, and I won't tell you, I can hardly speak of what happened out there, that it was so amazing. I experienced Jesus in ways that was quite remarkable. I experienced things in ministry that God has promised me I will one day see. And I've seen some stuff. Pastor Andrew and I saw some incredible stuff in our traveling ministry. We've seen some amazing miracles here in the church. My goodness me, I can hardly speak of what that time was. In the worst time, it was the best time. It was challenges everywhere, and yet there was such a revelation. I began to know the Lord in a new way. My friendship with him deepened. how he revealed himself to me and what he did to provide for me. I felt like the ravens were feeding me, widows were feeding me. I just did what the Lord said. But there was a time where it just plain hard work and duty and doing it because Jesus said to do it. And I want to tell you, faith doesn't always have those moments, but they're coming. Faith is a walk, and then in it, if you don't quit, you will begin to see these new dimensions of glory. And just like Peter was transformed, beholding him, we are transformed from one degree of glory as we behold him, looking to Jesus. That is the diligent seeking, the reward of doing what Jesus said. In that time, I'll never forget it. And, you know, there are times where I remember it in a trial. And I'm sure Peter did. When he got to the shore, he said, I know there were some tough times, but my goodness me, I saw the Lord in a new way, and I walked on water. Wow. And that sort of moved him on so that in the future he could do even greater things. From faith to faith to faith to faith. The journey. And you know, he knew that it came out of relationship. All of that came out of seeing and hearing Jesus. All of it. And that is the key to faith. Jesus. Jesus, relationship with him and his word and his spirit speaking to us. I'm going to finish with Acts. I hope you're enjoying tonight. I hope this is refreshing you and giving you a taster of the things. You know, the things we read are the things that you and I can do in God. They're not just a, wouldn't that be nice? It's actually a presentation of Christ in us. This all-surpassing power that God has placed. Divine ability, divine nature on the inside. In Acts chapter 9, I was thinking about this and I thought we'd finish with this together. Acts chapter 9. This is after the Spirit came. This is after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And, there he is wandering along the streets and people are getting healed. The expectations are so high. There's faith and expectation all around Peter, so much so, even his shadow, people are getting healed. And it was actually a dimension of faith happening in the people. Faith in Jesus and his ability. And in Acts 9, there was this woman called Dorcas, actually in the Hebrew, Tabitha. So there's the Hebrew and the Greek. And she was a disciple, a believer, and she was a woman who probably had means, and she blessed so many people. And there were all these widows. She would take care of them and take care of their needs. Anyway, she died. And they kind of laid her in this upper room. And the saints, the believers, actually went to find Peter. They didn't go to Jesus. Interesting, they didn't go to Jesus. They went to Peter. And so Peter, because he had this relationship with God, and this reality of a walk of faith, they thought he can help us. There was some expectation in them. But there was also another crowd called the widows, and they were weeping. And, they were mourning because of the loss of this wonderful woman who'd been an incredible saint. And they asked Peter to come and do something, actually raise her from the dead. And they were showing Peter, when he came in, they were showing him, look what Peter did, look at all these garments, and they were crying. And you know, when you go into a house where there's mourning and there's crying, it's an atmosphere that can actually come into you, because we feel, we weep, those who weep. And Peter, like you and me, we can be vulnerable to atmospheres. They can actually really affect us. When somebody's cold, it can affect the way you behave. When somebody is full of faith, it draws something out of you. I love to be with people of faith, those people who are pursuing God and expecting and want to talk about Jesus and excited about what he's doing. They do something to me and I kind of respond. But in this environment, I can imagine Peter was like, oh, gosh, okay. So he went into the bedroom where they'd laid her body out. And I told them to go out. He closed the door. And verse 40, we're going to read this. But Peter put them all out. And I think if you're going to really do business with God when everybody else is in a negative state, somehow you've got to. Sometimes it's really important to get people out of the room. Jesus did that, and I think faith needs a certain atmosphere to operate in. And so Peter put them all out, and oh my goodness, this man, this great man, what did he do? He knelt and he prayed. You see, what was he doing? He who comes to me must believe that I am, and I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. He knew God could. He didn't just shout, get up. He didn't presume he had that now faith, even though he had faith before. He needed something fresh from the Lord. He lived by faith. He had the memories of what Jesus had done. He'd seen what Jesus had done. But in this moment, I just see this great man gets on his knees, and I would have closed my eyes, because a body in the room speaks death more than life. And so he shut out the crying, and he shut out the negativity of that situation. And he turned to Jesus. He knelt down and prayed. Oh my, I'd have loved to have been in that room, wouldn't you? I'd love to have just popped in and said, please let me be in a fly on the wall with you right at this time. I don't believe it was a long time, because he already knew the Lord. He was already connected. He drew near. It was just a simple faith. Lord, you're here. You're walking on top of this. Like you walked on the sea. You're on top of this. You're Lord of it. I just see your victory. You're in victory over it. Tell me to do what you're doing. You've won the victory, Lord. Speak. And he said, I wanna see this woman raised. Tell me to do it. And I believe in that exchange, whatever happened, he received what he needed. And you know, I think sometimes we just have to admit that we need something fresh from God before we go into a situation all guns blazing. That we need to just kneel humbly before Jesus and say, Lord, God gives grace to the humble. Give me what it takes to see this person raised. It's wonderful, wonderful. Turning to the body. You see, he was able to turn to the body with a different vision. Because he'd seen the Lord and he'd seen him heal. He'd seen, this woman alive again? You know, we read these things, but it's in coming to him in a fresh way that the promises come in a fresh way. He speaks them again, and faith comes again, and we can turn and speak. And that woman got up. Oh, what a relationship with God. And I think the thing is, sometimes we think, well, that's Peter, and he's so far ahead of me. But we've got to start where we are. And you know, Jesus made the way for us to come right before the throne of grace. He's not withholding anything from any of us. He's already done everything. For every miracle, every victory is already won. And we can come boldly before him and say, Lord, I believe you are Lord over this. I want to see you and I want to hear you in a fresh way. Speak to me, Lord, because I want to walk in a new dimension of faith and see you glorified in this situation. Praise God. Faith. Everything is possible for those who believe. But it's this believing now for this situation now. That's what Peter needed. Not yesterday's faith, not tomorrow's faith. We live by faith now. And that faith is relationship with him and hearing him speak in a fresh way. Praise God. And, you know, in this season, can I encourage you just to take the lid of where you've already walked with God? Some of you have seen some amazing things. Others of you have just started. You've seen God do amazing miracles. But whatever he has done, remember what he's done. Bring to mind the miracles of your history with Jesus. Remember, if I think back, like I have, partially this story about my time in America. By the way, I got to the other side of the shore and came back to England, which I was thrilled about. But, you know, the reality was I grew so much. My faith grew. My relationship was like of a different depth. And I can only say to you that in whatever you're in your journey, God has a plan. Don't quit. Don't give up on the word he said. Don't turn around and say, actually, you know, let's back off what God is saying. Just keep going. Persevere. And that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. What a wonderful adventure we're called to live. And this adventure has just gone up a gear. We're in a time and a day where God is going to do incredible things. So have a vision beyond what you've lived in. Let God speak, reveal himself to you. Seek him diligently. Seek him with your whole heart. As you heard on Sunday, we're in a time where he's calling us to really seek his face. But that means you'll be rewarded. There will be new dimensions of revelation and new dimensions of miracles and faith. And you'll be able to help so many more people who feel helpless. But God will have worked a spirit of faith, a life, a walk of faith in you. People will call on you to come and pray. Come and lay hands on them. They'll find you out. You see, people of faith are found out. People will look for you because they know that you have this relationship and this faith to overcome every situation. Praise God. Let me just pray for you and we're going to close this evening's faith refresher. I trust you've been greatly refreshed by the word and the spirit, and you've heard the Lord drawing you to himself into something new. And don't quit. Don't quit. Don't turn around. Don't go back. Be like Peter. Who else can I go to? Only you've got the words of eternal life. And this wonderful group of disciples, wonderful. They were faithful and they're out there, guys. These wonderful disciples, they just keep walking. They keep following because of who he is and what he says. Praise God. Lord, thank you that in all of our journeys, you've proven yourself faithful. You've shown yourself to be triumphant in every situation and struggle we faced, in every trial and every trouble. As we have stepped out on your word, Lord, we realize that though there may be trials and struggles, Lord, I thank you, you've overcome them all. And Lord, thank you that you draw near to us. We draw near to you. We thank you that you are wanting us to see you in a new way in this time. Lord, come and reveal yourself to each one of us. Let's pray. Just I invite him to come. Come and reveal who you are so that I see you in a new light. Lord, in this time, not just in my history now, but today, in these days ahead, Lord, as I follow you and do your will, even if I'm tired, even if it's been a struggle, Lord, thank you that your word tonight has brought hope, that you're going to meet me. It's kind of done something in me to give me faith that I'm going to encounter you in this and be changed. Forever changed by what you say and what you reveal. So much so, Lord, we'll even give thanks for the trials. Because in it, we've seen you, we've known you, and we've proven that your word works and is true. Glorify your name and let us be people really of faith. Not just of knowledge of you, but of people who walk not by our senses, but because you said it, we'll act on it and see the rewards that you have planned for us. Bless your people. Let this be an exciting time, an adventure of revelation, an amazing relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you can expect great things from him. You can expect it. And you will do great things for him and for his glory. God bless you. Really enjoyed being with you tonight. And looking forward to our journey that we're going together in this such an exciting time of seeing what Jesus can do and who he is to us. Bless you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.